Hello, I have an invitation to tea with the Queen.
Yes, Emma's been expecting you. Please come in.
I think that we just massively underestimate, especially as women, our own capability and awesomeness.
And it's changed. It's changed my life completely, yeah.
Sometimes I think you go through this journey as a business owner and think you're a bit crazy. You're like, who am I to have this dream?
Well, I just think women are hard on themselves.
I wish I had been more confident in what I was capable of.
But I feel like you do what feels right for you, then that's going to be always on brand.
Women, our natural inclination is to be pleasers and to put other people before self.
I've never had a tea with the Queen before, and this is such a pleasure.
Hello, I'm Emma McQueen, and welcome to Tea with the Queen. I've always said that anyone who runs a business should understand their own finances. Not everyone does, though, but they should. It doesn't mean you spend all your time on doing everything related to finances yourself. That's when you should be engaging a bookkeeper. Because you don't want to get your taxes wrong, and you sure as hell don't want to get caught short of money each and every month. That sucks. Lisa Turner is a bookkeeper extraordinaire, and she's also a qualified accountant. Lisa helps female business owners get on top of their money. If you're ever looking for tips on cash flow and BAS and the like, check out her free tools and tips at her website, accountantforyou.com.au. Today, we get down to the nitty-gritty of cash flow and some tips on running a business. Hello, Lisa. Thank you for joining me on Tea with the Queen.
I'm really glad to be here.
It's so good to have you here. Tell me, what drew you to focus on helping women owners in business?
That's such a huge topic. And in a nutshell, I want other women in business to grow financially and have the flexibility that they want around their families. And they're the reasons that I started my own practice. So I want others to have that same freedom and flexibility that I do. And finances is an area that can really overwhelm or hold business owners back. So that's why I want to help female-led businesses.
I love that. And I think that we know the stats, you would know the stats as well, that 90% of businesses owned in Australia by women generate $100,000, and it's not enough.
No, it's by far not enough. Considering what we do and the businesses we're impacting, it is nowhere near enough.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's funny how we have our own business to have some flexibility. And then somehow some people are working 24/7. It's a killer.
Yeah, it's a terrible catch-22. You go to work for yourself and work all the time.
I know. At least you like what you're doing. But at the same time, there's got to be some sustainability to it as well.
Absolutely.
Tell me, what are some of the challenges that you see women in particular face when it comes to running a business?
Exactly that. Wearing all the hats, working the really long hours, thinking that they have to do all the things and not getting that flexibility that they went into business for. Because I see a lot of women feel like it's a bad reflection on themselves or the business to outsource. They think if I get someone else to do that, it means I can't. But it's exactly the opposite. It's a really good thing to grow and outsource and get help, and the other part is not charging as much as they should for what they're doing.
Preach it, sister.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about charging what you're worth and getting paid what you're worth. I want to go back to outsourcing, but I'd like to ask you a couple of questions first.
Sure.
It might sound like an obvious question, but why is it important to keep accurate financial records?
This is such a great question because it's such a huge topic. People just think it's as simple as I need to keep the receipts to keep accurate financial records. So you're right, it might sound obvious, but there's lots of things involved in that and issues if you don't keep the important accurate records. The main one being keeping your invoices and receipts, because if you don't, you can't claim the expense and you can't claim any of the related GST if you're registered for GST. So that's the obvious important one. But then looking overall, it costs you more money to get your tax return done because your tax agent or your bookkeeper that you have engaged to do it for you has to piece it all together well after the fact. It's harder to find things, more time spent doing things than if you'd have kept it accurate from the start. And then the largest, biggest issue, the overall impact of not having up-to-date records is not knowing how your business is going until it's too late. You can't make strategic decisions. You judge by your bank balance. You don't know if you're making a profit. There's just such a huge impact from not keeping accurate financial records.
Yeah, I love that. It's almost like having a clean house. You know, like if you let your house get messy, there's a whole big cleanup to do versus just keeping it neat and tidy every day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you suggest people keep records? I mean, our grandparents probably kept them in a shoebox, and I suspect there's a few people out there that still do that.
You would be surprised how many people quite literally still do that. But first of all, if you're running a business, accounting software is absolutely a must. That is how you keep your financial records. Keeping a shoebox is not professional. It can't help you keep accurate, up-to-date records. Keep the receipts and make them digital in that accounting software, and then you can go and chuck them in that shoebox if that's what you really want to do.
And I'm going to hazard a guess that Excel is not an accounting software.
No, and I get it. It's a stepping stone sometimes, but if you want to be serious about your business and grow it, it's not the right thing.
Yeah. When should a business owner start to engage with a bookkeeper? So we've talked about getting good software. When do you believe a business owner should start to engage with a bookkeeper?
I've had lots of discussions with different people around this one lately because it's coming up to end of financial year and people are thinking, should I get a bookkeeper? What do I do? A couple of the things to think about. If you can't do it, don't want to do it, don't understand it, and you want to be serious about your business, it's time to get a bookkeeper. If you want to grow and focus on your revenue, get that professional helping you to look after them. And a really common point is when it's time to register for GST or you want to put on employees, that is a brilliant time to get a professional on board.
And what's the number for GST these days?
When you reach $75,000 in revenue, not profit, so it's your sales and it's on a rolling 12 months. It's not calendar year, it's not financial year, it's not a fixed 12 months. It's a moving 12 months, 11 months backwards and 11 months forwards.
Okay, so let's say I've hit 75K in my business for the first month in June. Is that when I would do it?
Yeah.
Or do I wait until it's consistent or what do
no,
I do?
No, as soon as you reach it, that's when you have to register. And if you're looking ahead and thinking, I'm going to reach that next month or in the next few months, you should register from that point and get onto it.
Funny story. When I first started my business, and this was maybe 7 years ago, I said to my accountant at the time, I think we should register for GST. And he said to me, Emma, you're not going to make that much money.
I hear that all the time.
Challenge accepted. And I said, okay, our working relationship from this moment is done. And he's like, excuse me? I said, I don't want to work with an accountant who doesn't actually have faith that I can hit this. And I was very glad I made the choice because in my first quarter, I think we hit revenue of $240,000. And so we needed it immediately. Now, I knew that about myself, that I was going to do that because I'm the main breadwinner. I've got different motivations to other people starting businesses, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, and he followed up because he was still my husband's accountant. And he said to my husband, oh, how's Emma doing with her business? And Mark said, oh, yeah, she hit 240 in the first quarter and there was dead silence on the other end of the phone. And I thought, that's just beautiful revenge right there.
It is. And it's advice in itself to have a great tax accountant who will help you hit those goals and support you, not doubt you and tell you you can't do things.
But I do wonder how many accountants are out there questioning it for women, helping them with their own level of self-doubt.
Way too many.
Way too many, right?
Way too many.
It's who your support network is that really helps with stuff like this, isn't it?
You absolutely have to surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're an employee, you know PAYG tax is taken out each pay day or each pay cycle, whatever it is. Business owners, though, have to keep in mind GST, company tax, payroll tax, and a heap of other costs. How do you suggest they handle all of the taxes that they pay?
another huge topic.
And I know, this I'm
one,
sorry.
No. And I could talk for hours, but I won't. It's my favorite, most common answer is it depends. It depends on your structure. So if you're sole trader, you can't go onto wages because you are yourself. So it really is important that you know how much to put aside of your income. And if you're a company, then you do go onto wages and the taxes do come out. But even still, whichever structure you are, for all the other taxes and super, work with a BAS agent or a tax agent so that you can each week or month put the money aside, knowing how much it is. And if you're that sole trader and you don't know how much that money is, they'll be able to help you work out a percentage, be it 15, 20%, that you just pop that aside so that it's there ready when the tax bill comes around or the BAS bill. And using accounting software will help you to know a lot of these things instead of having to guess them, because it will tell you how much your revenue is, how much your profit is. So you have a really good way to gauge how much to put aside once you have that percentage from your tax agent.
I'm curious, you mentioned before revenue versus profit, and this is a discussion I have a lot with people because everyone knows their revenue level. Like if I say, what's your revenue? They will be able to tell me. But when I ask them about profit, it's a bit more of a tricky answer. Why do you think that is so?
Because people don't always understand what their actual expenses are, what can be claimed, what can't, and how to work that out. Because a lot of the time they are using that spreadsheet or they aren't tracking all their financials. They're literally just keeping track of that top level revenue so they can answer that. Because in their mind, that's the most important figure when in fact it's not. Profit is, because you want to be making money. So that's why taking back to you need to keep accurate financial records, you need to track all the things to know how your business is going. And that's what happens. A lot of people don't track their expenses, so they can't answer the question.
Yeah, right. It's scary.
It really is.
It's scary because I will have people who come to me and they say, oh, we made this amount of revenue and we made this amount of profit. And I say, and what did you pay yourself? And they're like, oh, we didn't pay ourselves. I'm like,
you did all that for nothing.
Yeah. And they don't quite understand it. So how does someone educate themselves in the first instance, maybe before they go to a bookkeeper, before they hit that 75 or whatever it is when they think they need a bookkeeper? How do people educate themselves? Because you've got a lot of resources and bits and pieces on your website, haven't you?
I do. So I'll give them a bit of a plug as one step. Find free resources and educate yourself. I have loads on my website, free downloads, free blogs, free podcasts. As a business owner, it's your responsibility to learn these things. So go out and find them. Finances isn't something that you innately know how to do. You don't learn it at school. But if you're running a business, you need to go and find these things. And there are free resources if you don't yet have the budget for it. And there are people that do courses. I have a digital course as well for foundations so that you can learn the basics, get on top of things. And then when you can afford someone, you're in a much better position and have some idea of how you're going.
I love that. I want to talk about BAS for a minute. What problems could possibly arise if you get your BAS wrong? And what happens if you pay your BAS late?
First, what happens if you get it wrong? You could claim too much GST because you're claiming GST on everything when there isn't GST on everything. And that's a really common mistake. People think, I'm registered, I'm going to claim GST on everything. So when they're doing their own BAS, they just claim GST on everything. So that's a huge problem. You claim too much and you don't want to be in that boat that when you get audited or you do your tax return and you have a bucket load to pay back. And on the flip side, and people don't think of this one, they don't claim enough because there are some things that require different calculations to get the GST right. They don't claim their bank fees, their merchant fees, so they're not claiming GST on those. If you import products, there's import duties that have a large chunk of GST in there, and I see people not claiming that all the time because they don't understand how to. They just claim 10%, not the whole amount of GST they've been charged. So you can either claim too much or not enough. They're the main problems. They're easily fixed if you know what you're doing or get help but it's better to just get it right on the front foot. And if you pay your BAS late, well, there's penalties from the ATO for late lodgement. So there's two parts to that. If you lodge late, there's a late lodgement penalty. And if you lodge but don't pay, there's interest charges. So there's quite a few financial hits that you'll cop if you don't lodge and you don't pay on time. And they backdate those. So
wowzers. Okay, that makes sense. So get your BAS in on time and pay it on time.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically.
Even if you can't pay it on time, lodge it on time because you're avoiding that late lodgement fee and then work out the payment and get on top of it.
And the ATO are pretty generous with payment plans, aren't they?
Very much so. Especially over the last few years, they are starting to crack down again on people being responsible. But the ATO is much more approachable than they used to be. And they genuinely want to help you get on top of things. So be on the front foot, be organised and know what you need to do and talk to them when you're having issues.
I want to go back to the outsourcing, the thing we started at the beginning where we, you know, we're all trying to do it all and we're not outsourcing enough and bits and pieces. What's your thoughts on outsourcing the financials before you understand them?
You need to find the right person so that they will help you understand them, because it's great to outsource it, but that doesn't negate your responsibility to know them and make decisions. Just because someone else is looking after it for you doesn't mean you then don't have to know your numbers and be on top of things, because you still have to pay the bills. The BAS is still your responsibility. The taxes are still your responsibility. The bookkeeper's just looking after the numbers and recording them for you. But if you get the right one, they'll go through the reports with you. They'll keep you up to date on what you need to know. So if you don't understand financials, find someone that is really great at sharing information and teaching so that they don't just tick the boxes and move on to the next person. Because if you don't know them, you do need that extra bit of help to understand them, because you really should.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of people that I've spoken to recently. I'm like, so do you understand your finances? And they're like, oh, no, I outsource that. I'm like, but you really still should understand your finances, you know.
Yeah, and it's a tricky one. You won't ever know the ins and the outs. The bookkeeper will still do all the detail of it, but you need to know how and why and what.
Yes, and I think I have told you this before, that I stare at zero for an hour every Friday. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
I'm like a grade A student in that, because I didn't understand them. And I was like, okay, what is this profit and loss things? What are managing my budget? What's the budget variance? And I'm a learner, so I like to know the bits and pieces. I don't necessarily need to know the ins and outs, but I want to be able to manage my finances in a way that's fiscally responsible. And I also want to make sure that we're not just generating revenue for the sake of it, that we're actually generating profit at the end of the day.
They're making a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a business owner, obviously. Any tips or words of inspiration for those listening who are trying to grow their business or maybe just starting one? Either or.
So many, but a couple of main ones. Set boundaries from the very start. I didn't, and so I've had to work really hard to put them in place and stick to them later down the track, because people get used to, I try and get everything done in the day. If I get something, I make sure it goes out that day. So I've had to work really hard to put time boundaries in place and not work nights and weekends and things that what we spoke about at the start. We go into business and then work longer hours. So I have really strict boundaries in place, and I'm only flexible on them when I need to be. So boundaries from the start. Outsource as soon as you can the things that you don't need to do or that you can't do. And of course, use accounting software and get support, because you might be great at clicking buttons in Xero and that and the like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the right things are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners today, Lisa?
Know your numbers.
If
that's all you take away from today, like we've spoken on, even if you outsource it, you still need to know them and be on top of them so that you can make decisions, because You're not in business to not pay yourself and to not grow. You want to make a profit. You want to be able to pay yourself. And if you aren't keeping on top of your numbers, then you just can't do that. Like, go and get your tax return done and you either broke even or even worse at a loss, and you've worked your heart out for a year for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on. You have made it sound so simple. I mean, I know it should be, but, you know, sometimes these things aren't. But if anyone's out there listening and thinking, I really need to talk to Lisa, we'll leave Lisa's details in the show notes along with the website so that you can grab any of the free resources as well. Thank you for coming on Tea with the Queen.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been lovely. I always love chatting with you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening to Tea with the Queen. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help to get the word out. For more about me, please visit emmamcqueen.com.au, and I look forward to your company next episode.
Goodbye. Thank you for coming.